Sharon Hadley. God bless you. Thank you for our offertory this morning. Brothers and sisters, if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to find Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. And at the same time, if you would also find Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1 and Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. We're continuing our study in Luke's gospel this morning. If you're a guest with us, we are studying God's word verse by verse and chapter by chapter. And today we've come to the fifth chapter of the gospel of Luke. I have had some very well-intentioned and well-meaning church members through the years at multiple different churches that have tried to convince me that disciples of Christ are something more than simply followers of Christ. That everyone who chooses to follow Christ is a Christian. But in order to be considered a disciple, you have to do something more. You have to be more committed. You have to be more mature in your relationship with the Lord. And so again, very well-meaning, very well-intended brothers and sisters in Christ, church members, have tried to convince me that anyone who's been born again is a Christian, but not every Christian is a disciple. And while that may sound good, that has no basis in the New Testament. In the book of Acts, Luke uses the phrase disciples 27 times. And in every instance he uses it, he's always referring to Christians. He's always referring to every follower of Christ. Not a subset. Not a clique, not a more mature group, not a more committed body, but he's using disciples synonymously with Christian. Matter of fact, listen to Acts chapter 11, verse 26. The very last sentence of that verse. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So today I want to talk to you just for a few moments about the calling of disciples. The calling of disciples, the calling of a follower of Christ, the calling of a Christian. Today's text, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. If you are able and if you have found our text, would you stand this morning in honor of God's word while I read, following along in your copy of the scriptures or on the screens behind me? So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he, this is Jesus, got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And Jesus sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, We've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. And so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." And so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray together. Father, again, thank you for bringing the body of Christ here this morning. And Father, over the next few moments, we ask and pray that you would have your way in our lives. Again, we pray for the gifts from above, that our eyes to see and ears to hear, and a heart that is receptive to your word. And we ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. When we talk about the calling of disciples, we're talking about following Jesus. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it look like to follow Jesus? Well, today's story can help us. Notice in these first four verses, following Jesus can sometimes seem illogical. Following Jesus can sometimes seem illogical. Verse 1, so it was. The multitudes pressed about him. Remember, Jesus had been healing everyone. He had been healing spiritually. He had been healing physically. Why? To authenticate his absolute authority, to authenticate his message, to lend credence to his preaching. His preaching was primary, his healing was secondary, but people had heard about the healings. And so they began to come from near and far, surrounding Jesus, wanting to know more, wanting to hear. Notice also in verse 1, it says to hear the word of God. Now keep in mind, my Bible and your Bible did not exist at this time. So what Luke is referring to here, he's referring to the words of Jesus, the very words of Jesus. And so what was Luke saying? Luke was saying that Jesus is God. And when he speaks, you better make sure you're listening, because it is absolute. Because he has absolute authority. So you don't want to miss what he has to say. The multitudes pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, and he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Or your translation may say Sea of Galilee. Those two names referring to the same body of water. And as he is teaching and preaching, Jesus, in verse 2, sees two boats. These are two fishing boats, probably 20 to 30 feet in length, not canoes. But they are beached, and they are without their owners. Because what are their owners doing? Well, at mid-morning, verse 2 tells us the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. These professional fishermen will soon find out two sets of brothers, Peter and his brother Andrew, James and his brother John, more than likely a pair of brothers for each boat. They had been fishing all night because that's what they did. They were professional fishermen. This was the family business. They had come in from fishing, and in order to get ready for the next day, they were cleaning and mending their nets in order to get a better hearing so that more people could hear what he had to say. Verse 3 says that Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's or Peter's, Simon Peter's, and ask him to put out a little way from the land. Why don't you put out just a little bit? I'll be able to face the congregation. More people will be able to hear. Hopefully my voice will carry. It will benefit them. And as was customary during that particular day and culture, the rabbi, the Lord Jesus, sat down in the boat and taught the multitudes. Well, after he was finished with his sermon, after he was finished with his preaching, verse 4 says that Jesus said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Now remember, Simon Peter is the professional fisherman. Jesus was the professional carpenter. What would a carpenter know about fishing? I wonder if Simon Peter thought that it's absolutely ridiculous to do this. Well, we'll see in just a minute. Yes, he did think that. And I wonder if sometimes as followers of Christ, we often have similar thoughts. When the Lord Jesus makes it abundantly clear what he wants from us, our thought is, that doesn't make any sense. For example, he may tell you to pray instead of talk. And for that particular situation and in that particular time, that may not make any sense to you. Following Christ can seem illogical. When he says to you, tithe on your income, and yet you would rather make another payment on your new car or your new house or your new boat or your new fill in the blank. Following Jesus may seem illogical. Or students, but not just students, adults as well. Following Jesus may seem illogical when Jesus says, keep yourself pure sexually. And yet, the crude mindset and thought of the world today, why would you ever buy a car unless you test drove it? You see, following Jesus may seem illogical in your life, in your world, in your relationships. Also, remember what the Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. If you want to be happy, you want to know who's blessed, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Brothers and sisters, following Christ may seem illogical. But notice, secondly, beginning there in verse 5, following Christ will always be worth it. It will always be worth it. Look in verse 5 and we see Peter's response to Jesus' request. But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing." Again, why would the professional fisherman follow the advice of the professional carpenter about fishing? Peter was wondering the same. By the way, the devil will try to convince you, brothers and sisters, like the devil was trying to convince Peter, that Jesus doesn't know anything about your situation. For example, the devil will say to you, "Why in the world would you ever follow Jesus regarding marriage? Jesus never was married. Why would you ever follow Jesus as it relates to how to parent your children? Jesus never had children. Why would you follow Jesus as it relates to spending your money? Jesus was poor." The devil will try to convince you that Jesus doesn't know anything about your situation. And so why in the world would you ever follow him? But remember, we're not simply talking about a carpenter. Luke chapter 5 verse 1 again. Luke said, this is God. And he's going to speak the word of God. And so you and I, whether it has to do with fishing or marriage or parenting or money, or whatever, we better listen. Peter, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing." Watch this. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Even though the letter to the Hebrews came many years after the Gospel of Luke, Peter already was beginning to understand what would please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." And so with faith and with obedience, nevertheless, Peter says, at your word, we will let down our nets. We will do what you say to do, even though it doesn't make any sense. And when they had done this, verse 6, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. They had never had this type of catch before. The largest catch, certainly, that they'd ever experienced in their entire life on the advice of a professional carpenter. after they had spent the entire night and not caught a thing. And so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Not only were the nets breaking, but the boats were sinking. And Peter realized in that moment that a miracle had taken place. A miracle at the hands of God had taken place. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord." Peter recognized Jesus Christ as God. And when you and I recognize God for who He is, then we also will come to understand who we are in light of who He is. And what Peter said was very reminiscent of Isaiah and his encounter with God. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. "So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" When Isaiah got a glimpse of the glory of God, he understood who he was in light of who God is. And when Peter got a glimpse of the glory of Jesus, he began to understand who he was in light of who God is. And brothers and sisters, even though at times following Jesus may seem illogical, it is always worth it. I can stand before you this morning and tell you I have never regretted writing a tithe check. Not one single time. I can stand before you this morning and can tell you I have never in my life regretted being faithful to my wife. Not one single time. And certainly more applicable maybe today than days previously, I am so grateful and thankful that I have led my daughters to understand that loving Jesus is greater than loving any sport. Following Jesus is always worth it. And if you don't believe me, try. Accept the invitation. Following Jesus may seem illogical. Following Jesus will always be worth it. Following Jesus may cost you everything. Verse 9, "For he," Peter, "and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken." Why? It was more than they'd ever done. They realized this was a miracle. This was an act of God. This is not normal. And so they were a little afraid. I'm sure you can identify if you and I were in their shoes. Wow. Who are we dealing with here? Verse 10, "And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid,'" corresponding to their astonishment in verse 9, "'from now on you will catch men.'" Literally, in the language of the New Testament, "you will catch men alive," is what Jesus said. "You will catch men for life. That has two meanings. You will catch men for the rest of your life, and you will catch men for eternal life. But brothers and sisters, notice this. This is not just the responsibility, the calling, the assignment for Peter and Andrew, James and John. It is the responsibility, calling, and assignment for us. If Jesus has called you as a disciple, he has called you to be a fisher of men. He has called you to point people to Jesus that Jesus puts in your path. And he puts people in your path that are not in my path. And he puts people in my path that are in your path. But he providentially puts all of them in our path for one single solitary purpose: to point them to Jesus. And so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Jesus. They left their business behind. They left their family behind. They left their friends behind to follow Jesus. See, following Jesus sometimes may cost you everything. You may be here this morning, and God may be calling you to change jobs for him. To change jobs? To sell your business? Well, Brother Richard, that's not logical. I agree, it's not. Sometimes following Christ is illogical, but it's always worth it. Following Jesus may mean for some of you that you do something different than your family has ever done. Brother Richard, that's going to be really, really awkward at family events. I know. Following Christ can seem illogical, but it'll be worth it every time. Particularly for our students and teenagers, but not only for our students and teenagers, for our adults as well. You may have to do something different than your friends. Jesus may call you to act and behave and live differently than the rest of your friends. And it's going to be hard because peer pressure is real. And it's not confined to teenagers. It is prevalent in adults as well. It may seem illogical, but it'll always be worth it. And following Jesus may cost you everything. And yet that's what God has given to us. He's giving to us everything in his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sin and in our place. And today, my invitation for you, number one, is to become a disciple of Jesus's for the very first time. To admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died on the cross in your place for your sin. To call on him to save you. To confess him as Savior and Lord of your life. For others of you this morning, if you are already a follower of Christ, already a disciple, already a Christian, maybe God has spoken to you this morning about surrendering another area of your life unto him. Your marriage, your parenting, your finances, your recreating, your business. It may seem illogical, but I tell you, brothers and sisters, it will always be worth it. And if you don't believe me, try. Try. Maybe even there's some of you here this morning who you would answer the call to some type of ministry, some type of vocational ministry that you would leave behind as Peter and Andrew and James and John left behind the family business and the family and their friends. Maybe God's calling you to that. Maybe He's calling you to some type of vocational ministry. Doesn't make any sense, but it'll always be worth it, even though it may cost you everything. Jesus did that for us, and we in turn are invited to do that with Him. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? In just a moment after I finish praying, Brother Chris is going to come. And we're going to be standing all across the auditorium singing a very familiar song. And if today you would respond publicly to the invitation that has been shared with you, if you would respond publicly to God's word, as we're standing and singing, and Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front ready to welcome you. Today I would invite you just simply to step out of one of these aisles. Make your way to the front. Say to me, say to Brother Ronnie, today I want to become a Christian. Today I want to become a disciple. Today I want to be saved. We'd be so excited to pray with you and celebrate with you, counsel with you, rejoice with you. Maybe you need to come this morning in some type of rededication of your life. Maybe that's just you simply coming this morning to pray on bended knee here at the front. Maybe you're a guest today and God is leading you to unite with Emory Baptist Church formally and officially through church membership. We'd love to welcome you this morning. If you would answer that call to some type of vocational ministry, we'd love to welcome you. Father in heaven, thank you and praise you and bless you that you are still calling disciples today, just like you called disciples 2,000 years ago. Father, help us to trust Jesus in all things, even when it doesn't make sense, knowing that He is the Son of Man, Son of God, and He knows all, and that everything He calls us to do will be worth it. For His glory and for His honor. And give us courage, Lord, to say yes, even when it may cost us everything. Father, we love you. We're grateful for your love for us. We ask and pray all this today in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us and Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front, today we would invite you to respond to the invitation.